Hi guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, IFF.
Woo!
Purr, purr, purr.
Guys, you know it's been a while since we've done that. It's been a hot minute. And we can only apologize profusely for the silence, but we have good reason and some explanations and a couple of announcements, but we'll make them as always after we say a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and this opportunity that we have to be here together and just get back to recording and speaking with our LGP family. And we ask that in the discussions that we have today, that your heart for your children would be shown and that you'd lead us, Holy Spirit, in everything that we share. And it's ultimately your wisdom and not ours that we share, Father, and that you get all the glory. In your name I prayed. Amen.
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 So, yes, firstly, I didn't even say what today's episode is going to be about. Today's episode is an Ask LGP, and we have some quite interesting questions that you guys have sent. Firstly, one about, like, strict parents, dealing with, you know, sharing your faith without coming across judgmental, shopping at fast fashion brands. We're going to get into a lot. But before all that, let me begin by apologizing again for our silence. We know we have been off the radar, but guys, life has really been lifing. Like, no one tells you how hard it is to be an adult, especially for the first time. Like, we have basically all just entered into new and extremely busy periods of our lives, and I guess we didn't really anticipate how much of a strain that would be on our time, especially, like, with differing schedules. And so, yeah, life just got in the way, so we can only apologize for that. And I guess, like, realizing that we can't just leave you guys high and dry like that without announcement anymore. So we came together and we had a bit of a chat about the future of the podcast. And before you start gasping and humming, don't worry, we're not breaking up. Like, we are not leaving. But change number one going forward is that our episodes are not going to be as regular now. We know, like, back in our heyday, we used to give you guys regular content week by week, Thursdays at 6 p.m. But we are going to drop down to at least once every 3 weeks. So be expecting between 1 to 2 episodes a month. But, you know, sometimes we might be feeling nice. Sometimes we might just bless you extra if we have the time. The second thing is, like, we're going to move away from, like, having seasons. We're just going to be dropping episodes, like, whenever. Like, you just catch us when you catch us, man. There's no need for season number, whatever, whatever. Like, we'll just be posted anyhow. Like, just drip and drab here and there. Another thing, now this is a big one, so please shine your eyes and ears, your listening tools well. We receive a lot of DMs in our Instagram, and obviously it's such a blessing to be able to connect with you guys, and we really appreciate you guys showing your love, showing your support, posting us on your stories and everything. But it is getting increasingly difficult to deal with DMs which are personal dilemmas, because number one, we don't necessarily have the time to look through all of them. Some can get lost, some go into our requests, and we don't necessarily check the Instagram every day. And secondly, some of you guys come to us with dilemmas that we really don't want to just answer flippantly. They require a lot of time, prayer, research, and we don't want you to think like we're just reading your messages and ghosting you. And so from now on, you can still DM us if you just want to say, hey, show some love, eh. But if it comes to personal dilemmas, we would much rather you put them in the anonymous Google form, and that way we'll work through them in our episodes and by responding to emails as we have been doing already. And if you have already submitted something in the form and you're worried that we're not answering it, we have a boatload of questions, and we are trying to work through them as quickly as possible, but we will get to you. We love you, we do see them, and we appreciate you. But we also, because we respect you so much, we don't want to just answer them anyhow. And that's why it takes a bit of time. So those are the main things. Less frequent episodes. We're not doing seasons necessarily anymore. And please, no personal dilemmas in the DM for now, while we're navigating this.
You know, I feel like Manipa gave a wonderful summary. I also want to caveat that if you would like us to maintain open DMs, if you would like us to, you know, increase the frequency, And I'm joking, but I'm also not. The anchor is there, you know, support this podcast so that in 10 years we could be doing this full time. I'm kidding, y'all. I'm kidding.
I'm actually not kidding, though, because my favorite statistic is that if every follower gave just £1 a month, I'm not even gonna, we would be living comfortably. Let me just say that. Yeah. Living
comfortably. They're not lying, fam. Like, I'm not lying. Hearing this, those who have ears, fam.
A word is enough for the wise. Oh, yeah. Sponsor.
No, we're joking, no, but we're y'all, for real. Yeah.
No, oh, honestly, thank like, we do love the podcast. We wish we could dedicate all of our time to this, but unfortunately, tough times are lasting, man. We're in a cost of living crisis. Mm. We have to go to work.
Honestly, it's true.
But anyway, let's launch into this episode by beginning with our icebreaker. MH, this was your idea, so do you want to introduce it?
Today's icebreaker is basically going to be us having a look at our catalog of episodes and discussing if there are any things that we've had a change of heart in. In this, like, just over a month break, I've re-listened to a few episodes of recent, and there are not many things, they're not really more than one or two things really that I feel like, oh, maybe I don't feel the same way about that anymore. But I just thought it'd be interesting to hear if the girls felt differently about anything that we've said over the past sort of 2 years and a bit that we've had this podcast. Do you girls have anything you want to share first? I can start.
You can start. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was looking at one of our earliest episodes, which is actually episode number 4. So it's really like all the way back in 2020. And it's the one called Billionaire Culture Isn't Ethical, But I Still Want a Birkin. And I think that episode was fairly militant about, I was fairly militant about like how I feel about like money and things, which is not bad. But I think as I've grown up a bit more, only 2 years, but a little bit, and as like I'm a working person now, have a full-time job and, you know, cost of living and things, I have a lot more grace for things that seemed very black and white when we were living in isolation and during COVID. And we'll touch on this a little bit in terms of like the questions that we have today for the Ask LGP, but specifically as it comes to like money and ethics and like politics and like that sort of like triangulation of subjects, I feel like I know what I want for myself. But in 2020, I wasn't like, oh, if you don't hate fast fashion, like you're going to hell. That was not my that was not my thing. But I think I've had a change of heart a little bit in how like we as Christians should respond to the woes of this world in terms of those three things, like how ethics and like money and like purchasing and consumerism and all of that sort of stuff, and like, yeah, all those things, how all those things come together. That's one of the things that that I've had a change of heart. I've had a change of heart about other things, but those things will remain undisclosed
until the time comes where it's dire to address.
Yeah. Precisely that.
I actually just thought of two.
Okay.
So, I was looking through. Episode number 19 is called Rap is the Devil's Music, Girl, Bye. I actually can't remember what I specifically said in this episode, but based off the title, I would say in the past 2 years, particularly in this year, I think I've become more convicted regarding music in terms of, like, just being a little, even, so y'all already know, if you are an OG listener, you know that my listening rotation is very much giving Kirk Franklin. But I think like it's something that I kind of became more lax on, but now I'm starting to feel a bit more like, yeah, there's certain things where it's kind of like, yeah, maybe I won't be on in the in crowd if I don't know this music, but I know that for me and my personal conviction is some lyrics out there, I'll just be listening to something, I'll be like, oh, what did you mean by new salvation? Ooh, don't come for me, Beehive.
Oh, they gonna come for you
they
now.
They gonna come for me now, Beehive. But I'm just asking the questions. I didn't give no answer. It's just certain things like that, like, unsettle my spirit. And it's not on a whole, like, oh, Illuminati, like, play the songs backwards. It's genuinely just, like, there's some lyrics where it's kind of like, why am I professing with my tongue what I just would never believe in my heart? And just,
wow,
you know what I mean?
That's a word right there.
Hallelujah. I'm already preaching, y'all. Y'all, they gonna tell me to come down from here. The other one is quite a nice one. I don't know what episode it was. But it was called, like, If God Loves Me, Why Did... episode 5. If God Loves Me, Why Didn't He Make Me Beautiful? Just a general...
That's my favorite episode.
Honestly, one of our most, like, authentic, moving, touching episodes. I do have to say, I definitely hate myself a lot less than I did then. So, we praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank God. That's beautiful. Aimee, what about you, sweetheart?
I don't really remember anything I say. I just been scrolling on the titles. But I think the one that I don't think I said it, but I think was said, was the one, was our, what's it called? Collaboration with To Be His. And I think the title was something like, if you ghost me as a man of God, you're blocked. I think at some point in the episode we were talking about ghosting and how it can sometimes be needed. I don't agree with that anymore. I feel like even a simple sentence or something can be useful.
Yeah.
I think in terms of communication with other people, it's good to, well, it's necessary to look, as well as you're looking out for yourself in certain situations, you also have to look at the repercussions it has on the other people, whether it's just like not allowing them to sleep at night or just their thoughts going round and round.
I definitely agree with you there. I definitely agree.
That's good. Oh, I miss... I was thinking about the TBH girls today, actually, and our annual recording. I was like, I can't wait for February. What a key we're going to have.
No,
what
a key we're going to have the best time again. This is, like, kind of related, but, like, if it's one thing that sticks in my mind... No, there's two things that stick in my mind of the whole of our podcast history, which I think I will never forget and will always hold to be true. Number one is when Ionfe said... half obedience is not obedience.
Oh.
To this day, that one can keep me up at night. That was a word.
Straight from the word. It's true. It's true.
The Holy Spirit came and boxed me in the face with that one.
That is so true.
The other one, MH, this was a word from you. Ah, praise God. In our video with
She DH. Loves that babe off of TikTok so much.
Shout out to Sophie Gubarin or whatever her name is. I love her. Praise God. Anyways, MH said in our YouTube video, she said, in regards to relationships, I want to be the sort of person who is so hidden in God that it takes somebody who's looking for him to find me. Ah! No, but do you know how true that is? I honestly tell myself that literally nearly every day. Yeah.
Wow.
Those were some words.
I should also be taking that advice.
Don't make me expose you on this too.
God, what a time. Oh, no, honestly, that Ionfe's message is so true. I think about that. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that has ever been said. One of the few things that's been said in our many, many hours of talking on this podcast.
That can that still I would grab me by the throat.
Yeah, in 20 years, it'll still have the same potency.
No, genuinely.
You know what I mean? Potency. Mm.
For real. Potency, I think.
Potency, I think it is, yeah. Oh, but that was wholesome, girls. Thank you for
partaking. I loved that. That was really nice. Does someone want to introduce the first question?
Okay, so somebody sent in a question a question that goes like this. I've been struggling over a somewhat silly issue lately. Is it possible to shop at F21, Forever 21 as a Christian? The owners claim to be Christian, yet have Zodiac stuff all over their site, which is a bit startling compared to the amount of things they have related to Christ, besides cross necklaces and the like. And on top of that, the ethical concern of them being a fast fashion brand, but they have such nice clothing. I really want to be more ethical with my shopping, but I don't know if I can justify $60 on a sustainable t-shirt, period. If I should not buy from there, where else should I go? Thank you. No, thank you for sending in that dilemma. It's very relevant to our society, I think, and to our generation. Who's got their thoughts?
MH, actually, Uno Reverse, do you want to start on this?
Oh, because no. No, we're not going to Uno Reverse today. Uno Reverse.
Just because you read the question, you think you will answer. Please.
Okay, gosh. Goodness. Guys, you see, not much has changed in the 5 weeks we've been away.
No. I'm still a bully.
Ha, Okay, so I did a little bit of reading about Forever 21 as a company, and it was founded by a Chinese-American family, and their company model was very insular, so they filed for bankruptcy like in 2018 or 2019. So the way in which their company functions in terms of them not being sustainable is definitely like a serious consideration. To answer the first part of your question about like shopping, should you shop there because like they claim to be Christian, I'm assuming you mean because of their John 3:16 sort of tagline on like the underside of their bags and stuff like that. My opinion is honestly that how people navigate their faith is their private life. In Western society, that's just in all of society is the honest truth. How people navigate their faith is their private part of their life. How they navigate their business is the public part of their life. And often, for almost everyone, I think to an extent this is true, the convictions that you have in your private life do not always carry to your public life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying it's very common, mm-hmm. especially when we're talking about the world of business and the world of ethics. I think to answer your question about the Zodiac stuff, I mean, that's interesting. I don't really shop at Forever 21, so I don't really know what's really popping over there with all of that, but I know that they do be having a lot of, like, graphic tees in any case. If that doesn't sit well with you, I would advise that you just don't shop at Forever 21. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically just in terms of, like, businesses, especially, like, Western businesses, American businesses in general that have a specific aim that's not necessarily sustainability, or they don't have a specific like not-for-profit outreach that is that's actually like genuine. I think never see a company as a Christian company. It's just a company and they have a Christian tagline. I think seeing things as Christian companies is sort of it's tricky because being a Christian is about your character. It's about how you live your life. It's not just a cute little tagline. It's not even you paying tithe or giving to charities. A lot of amazing companies are not necessarily religious or Christian and do the most amazing work. And likewise, there are a lot of quote-unquote Christian or religious organizations that do work that's a little bit like Roddy Ricch sound. And so I think it's not really a matter of like, oh, they said this and their business practices look like that. Take their business practices for what they are and move accordingly. And so in that regard, I feel like when it comes to fast fashion, it's tricky. Fast fashion wanting to be like an ethical shopper is really, really tricky. I think, again, if Forever 21, you don't want to mess with them or, you know, their little brand because of the religious stuff, I think that's fair. If you don't want to mess with them because of fast fashion, I think that's also fair. Alternatives, I think, are just like thrifting. I love to thrift. When I'm here in Atlanta, well, I live in Atlanta now full time, y'all. That's one of the things that has occurred in our little break. I moved back home permanently, at least for the next couple of years. So anyway, yeah, I love to thrift. I'm at like all our local thrift stores and getting stuff for like work and stuff like that, because it's sustainable and it's more affordable in any case. But otherwise, Depop, if you're a British girly, Depop is your best friend. Like, if you see something you like on H&M, literally go to Depop and type in the exact same thing, it's gonna come up. If you saw the dress you like on Opoly, go on Depop. There'll be a girl who wore it once for her birthday. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. If you're in the USA, Depop still works for like really big brands. Zara, H&M. Like,
don't even sleep on eBay, man.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even sleep on eBay. Vinted. Yeah. Like, there are loads of places like that, especially like if you're based in Europe, that help. Also, Clothes Swap with your friends. Like, hallelujah. That's a really big one.
I'm just going to jump in on the ethical fashion piece, because I actually have been really reflecting on that recently, because I went charity shopping, or like thrifting, as Americans would say, with my brother the other day. And it really struck me that every single thing that he wears, no word of a lie, if he didn't make it, he got it on eBay. And if he didn't get it on eBay, he got it in a charity shop. And he's one of the most best dressed, dare I say, the most best dressed man in the UK. I can actually die on that hill. But it really got me thinking, like, the way he sees clothes, like, he wears things for fashion, but they're also, like, they're practical items. He doesn't see the need to cycle through things constantly, because, like, even when we went thrifting, like, he wasn't looking for the most unusual stuff. He would get, like, plain tees, And he was like, oh, I can dress this up with such and such that I already have.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking about the way it's kind of like, the way I dress right now, the way I plan my outfits, the way I think about dressing up, I think in terms of like, oh, what's this outfit gonna give? Let me get these things together for this outfit. But like, clothes are resources. They don't need to be cycled through so quickly. You don't need to necessarily serve something new every single time. That's one thing I'm really having to learn. And there was even one point during lockdown and stuff when everyone was so much more reflective and wholesome because we had nothing to do and we couldn't put our money where our mouth was because there was no such thing as going outside anyway. I was very much feeling committed to like shopping more ethically, like only doing the Depop thing. But then once the UK opened, I said, oh, there's too much to do. I have to go back on Pulse. But I've actually realized it's kind of like, firstly, from an ethical point of view, like, and this is not even to lecture or make anyone feel bad or badger anybody, because I'm very much still a girl that has contributed to many of the flaws in this system. The environment is one thing, but for me, it's the human element. Like, fast fashion accounts for so much child slavery, for so much of like unbreakable cycles of poverty. Like, these brands pay their workers so little. I remember there was one time like PLT were doing like a sale where stuff
the
was
one
going
pound
for 1p.
Sales.
Even, not even 1p.
That was crazy.
It was 1p. And genuinely seeing that made me feel sick.
That was crazy.
It made me feel sick because I just thought somebody here is fighting to feed their children. And I say feed their children because most often it will be black and brown women. Somebody here is fighting to feed their children and people are here getting skirts for 1p.
That's insane. Crazy. I didn't know it was that deep.
Insane. And also, like, even today I saw this little graphic and it was saying that cotton production accounts for like child slavery in Zambia. I said, oh, now y'all have brought it too close to home now. You're not about to enslave the kids in my hometown. Anyways, so that's one thing. And I feel like as Christians, like, the more, I guess, quote, mature I get in my faith, the more it's kind of like I genuinely want to invite God into every decision I make, regardless of the consequences. And so it's like, even though that might be uncomfortable for me and it might make me have to rethink the way I shop, the way I dress, which is half of my personality, if as a Christian, like, it's my mandate to show others the love of Christ, it's like, what can I be doing to alleviate the suffering on other people? And obviously, like, my thinking on this is very rudimental. Like, I haven't actually clearly thought through the ways of how to help the people that are stuck in those cycles, because me stopping shopping at PLT is not gonna alleviate their situation, but it's like, what can I do at the same time to help them? The other thing, just on clothing in general, which I've just been thinking about, is like trying to reconsider the way in which I adorn my body and the purposes for which I wear certain things. And that's like a far deeper conversation that I haven't fully resolved. But I think one thing I know is that I want to try to think less about the role that clothing plays in my personal glory or attention, or I don't know. I just don't like how tied up my self-esteem is with what I wear. You know, I just don't think that's the sum of who I am. And so when it comes to shopping, that's another thing that I want to bear in mind.
I definitely agree. I've also been having thoughts about shopping and things. Because basically, I moved house this week. And you know when you like actually get to see the clothes you have in front of you and you can count on one finger how many times you've worn like a piece of clothes. And I had to be like, there's so many clothes I haven't worn in the last year or like year and a half or 2 years, and like it has to go. And there's some clothes I wear all the time, so like some of them I'm selling them or like donating it to charity and all of those things. And then it made me think about one, how I spend my money, because if I'm wearing clothes, if I'm buying clothes, I don't even wear them the first year I get them. But also, I guess, the whole fast fashion things and how it is, like, how we're becoming a generation that loves instant gratification and all of that things. I think I was watching a vlog or like someone's Instagram story or something, and then she said that her she said that her phone was having problems, so she was gonna spend money.
Oh, I saw, like, that today. I sent it to you.
I'm like,
really?
Yeah, so your phone is breaking. That costs money to fix. So you're going to spend additional money to make yourself feel better. And I
know for real.
And this is like a, what's it called? It's not just the person I'm talking about, because I do it sometimes. If I feel sad, like, money will be spent.
no fear.
But it's just, I guess, taking care of the resources God has given to us, because yeah. there's so much more fulfilling for yourself as well as for the environment that you can use that money for. So that's what I've been thinking about in terms of like fast fashion and things. And I think one thing that my dad has definitely instilled with me, I've been on holiday for like the last month or so, and my parents run like a Bible study, my parents run a prayer meeting on Saturdays. And then one thing that my dad likes to highlight is like, as Christians, sometimes we do the "Oh Lord, bless me" prayers, or like pray for ourselves and pray for like our nation and neighborhood, rightly so. But there's so many people out there in the world that need prayer. And you can be like, "Oh, pray for all these orphans, pray for the poverty in this country," but then sometimes we fail to realize that we're contributing to these things.
Very that.
And as much as we're praying, our actions aren't matching.
Oh no, for real.
Here she comes with the word again. This girl has buzz.
No, it's true though.
So I feel like, as much as like, not trying to like cast the blame on other people, because I know like I definitely contribute a lot of my money to it.
Same.
I'm just being cognizant to that fact, and like MH and Mary Hannah and MH and Wanifa have mentioned that other ways of getting clothes and stuff that can help the environment. Oh, and one thing as well. I was speaking to my friend Shay. Love you, Shay. She's very environmentalist.
Shay, period, poo.
And I remember I was talking to someone, they were like, "Oh, are you going to order like a new thing?" And I was like, "No, my friend requires me to save the environment, so I'm doing my I'm doing my bit." But I think just having people like that is also, I guess, it shifts your perspective, what's really important in the world. Like, why am I worrying about getting a new dress for like a new party that I know I will only wear once, when that would just contribute to like more landfill and stuff? So yeah, I feel like the world was created by God. Sorry, I'm going a long tangent again.
My dad was speaking
today. My dad was speaking today about like droughts and how like the world is basically burning. And then he was saying how, like, as much as we say like God is like the end times, well then also we say like God can call down water and like fix the drought and stuff. These are our hands that have created these natural quote unquote disasters.
Wow.
And I think just reading, like, knowledge is power, so I would implore everyone listening to this to just read a little bit more about how all of these contribute, because they do have connections.
Right. Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
Wow. That was so good.
That was a word.
We could end the episode right there, I feel like.
Done and dusted. That was an episode ending comment. Like, you pray to get rid of poverty, but you're contributing. Hey!
Oh, no, it's true. I think that's so true, because it's just like, especially as I said, like, that 2020 period when we were like, "Black and brown lives matter, but I'm shopping at PLT on the regular," as if it's not the local black and brown ladies who are immigrants who are being underpaid.
Whose paychecks are being stolen from on the payday.
No, really. So it's the black and brown lives that look like me or that I see. Let's start there.
Or black and brown ones that can participate in luxury. Oh.
Not really. Oh.
No, that's another conversation though. Black women in luxury, but who is... let me not start. For the cancel me.
Another thank you, Ivan. That was great.
That was amazing.
Ivan, that's a great question. It's very deep about like faith in business. Like, oh, do you support a business that says that they believe this, but their actual products say otherwise? And then also like the practical implications of like fast fashion. It's very serious. It's actually very deeply serious. And as Ianfa said, like, it's like we got to hold up our hands and be like, "Oh, well, actually the planet is burning, and you know, it's my issue, you know, like I'm choosing to take the Uber when I know that there's the train still running, so I can get the train or I can get the bus." Like, one thing about all of us I can say is we are going to Uber to a location. And, like, instead of taking the bus, we'll be paid for a travel card. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, like, we carry chew in our purse. You know, so like seriously but unseriously, like we do have to hold up our hands. And I hate when people, hate is a strong word, I dislike when people, you know, when you hear something, you feel so victim shamed, like, wow, I'm a terrible person, as you look at your entire Zara and PLT wardrobe. That's not the goal, I think, of any of these conversations, at least not between us. It's just more for us to have a higher awareness, higher cognizance, because like God will hold you accountable for the things that you know, not the things that you don't know. So now that you have this awareness, what do you do with it? Not burn your PLT clothes or Forever 21, but be a bit more intentional. If your best friend, if my sister has a dress already, even if she bought it from Shein or Zara, I'm not going to not wear it because it's Shein or Zara. I'm just not going to buy a new one. I'm going to go take hers and wear it. You know what I mean? That's that sort of practical thinking, I think, is so much more helpful than acting like we don't know anything.
So our next question is something a couple of people might be able to relate to. And it says, as daughters of strict parents, do you guys ever feel restricted by them? Like lots of rules that aren't necessarily horrible, but you feel just limit how you can live your life. For example, being home by 8 or not allowed to hang out with guy friends. If so, how do you handle this in a godly way, avoiding lying but still trying to not to miss out on things? Now, I'm going to be honest, I'll let the girls answer this because my parents are really not strict in that way. So, yes, I will let them take the floor.
But do you want to start? I feel like you should start.
Yeah. Okay. As a daughter of strict parents, I feel like sometimes some of the things that they say and do are restricted. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like upon growing up, I understand why they say certain things, why they do certain things, even though they could have gotten the same outcome with less strict things. But I feel like ultimately, like you said, like the rules aren't necessarily horrible, but that they limit how you live your life. And I feel like sometimes it is important to have certain experiences, especially like while you're growing up, because that's how like people have strict parents and then go to university and like wild out. And like that is, and their parents would be like, oh, you're not the person that left the house. That's because you didn't know the person while they weren't living under your roof. And when they left the house, then they can be whatever full self
they want to be. Mm-hmm.
They've been like mustering up inside of them. Mm-hmm. But I feel in terms of to answer the question, how to handle it in a godly way. Lying is a sin.
Bro?
So probably not. So lying is never the best way to do it. But I think especially with now, I was born in Nigeria. My parents were like fully born in Nigeria. So I think knowing how they grew up has helped me understand the certain ways that they think. For example, my parents didn't live under the roof of their own parents, like while they were growing up. So then while we're living under the roof for the entire of our childhood, they very much like want to be there, want to be like part of every single aspect, whether they need to be or not. Mm-hmm. So like knowing how they grew up and knowing how that's translated to how they want us to grow up, I've been more understanding. But I think there's also, like you said, like lions, and there's also like a need for honesty and be like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, don't go to this place. I'll be like, no, I'm going to go. These I'm are the going contact jump on details of the people that will be there. And it's like a safe place. You can call me anytime. I definitely feel like there is some times that you need to be like I respect you as parents, but I also feel like I will go to this. But after a certain age, you'll be like, you start telling them you're going to places rather than asking for permission. But I feel like you should test the waters before you try that out. Before you come back with story time. But yeah, that's all I have to say. I'll probably think of something more, but I'll jump in later.
I think Anfa said it so beautifully. I just want to talk about, I had to write notes for this one. Like I said, this is a very serious and pertinent discussion that has to be had. The first one is boundaries. The first one is boundaries. I think it's super, super important to set boundaries, not in the sense of like I do this and y'all don't call me, and when I like, not in that sort of sense. I think it's just important to have the discussion and like, mom and dad, I'm an adult now, or I'm transitioning into adulthood, whether it's legally, like, whatever the situation is, I'm 18, or I'm going to uni, or moving out, or what, you know, whatever it is. And I think it's important that we understand that, like, these are the things that I'm going to be trying new things. And that doesn't mean that I don't love and honor you and want to respect you, but that means that we might not see eye to eye on everything. And I just want us to know that. I think that sort of boundary mm-hmm. is really healthy to set. If you're a real one, you've listened to our uni starter pack message, and you would have heard my disastrous story time. My disastrous story time about my first weekend ever at uni. I won't disclose the details again, but if you would like to hear what occurred, please refer to that episode. In any case, in that situation, I had to draw very clear boundaries, and we thank God that I did, or that those boundaries were drawn. It was an unfortunate situation, but it was necessary, and in retrospect, I'm so happy it happened, because it allowed my parents and I's relationship to grow and evolve in a necessary and natural way. The second thing, just as Ianfa said, is transparent, open conversations. I think being able... As she said, lying is a sin, and I will never not agree with that. But I think it's the sort of thing where, like, first, do you yourself know where you should and shouldn't be going? I'm going to say that first. Mm-hmm. And secondly, like, if you give them, I don't think they need to have Life 360 or find your location. I don't think it ever has to be that mm-hmm. deep. Like, they don't need to have that at all, actually, dare I say. But I feel like... You can be like, this is where I'm going, or like, I'm going to so-and-so's house for a party, or like, I'm spending the night at so-and-so's place. You know, obviously, when I'm saying spending the night, I mean in ways that are I don't want to say Christian, because people have different Christian perspectives, but in ways that are pleasing to the Lord. Let's leave that like that. Being transparent, be like, I'm going here, I'm doing this. There are things in my life over the past like year or half a year that like, my parents perhaps would not have like been like, oh, we're okay with that, we're happy with that. But it's the sort of thing where it's like, I've told you and I'm transparent about it. And that doesn't mean that just because you're transparent, you have no accountability. But I think it does mean that you have to sit in your conviction more. Because when your parents are asking you or giving you a bit more pushback on a decision that you've made or a place that you're going or something that you will, you've got to know why you did it and feel comfortable and confident in it. And not comfortable and confident intellectually, but I mean in terms of your spiritual state. The last thing I will say is, like, sometimes you gotta rip the Band-Aid off. And I don't mean in a harsh way, but, like, as Ianfa said, there have been times, like, my parents, I know I'm going to a location. Like, there's no reality where I'm not at the function. Or, like, there's no reality where I'm not at the place. Like, I'm going there. Sorry, what even making me laugh? I'm going there. But it's the sort of thing of how I want to leave in good graces. Because, like, I'm going. Like, there's no if, and, or, but of maybe. I'm going to the location. And I think it's so important that you do not adopt, like, a cocky, like, oh, I'm going, you can't do anything to me in those situations. Mm-hmm. I think this is a time where you need to be extremely diplomatic. Like, this is, you trying to converse with your parents is no longer a matter of, I'm going, you guys can't tell me nothing. No. It's more like, you in your mouth, you don't even need to say it out. You in your head, you know that you're going. So now it's a matter of, as I said, going in good graces, not in bad graces. That might not always be the reality, but like, for example, 2 years ago, oh my gosh, that's making me feel so old. Like a year and a half ago, it was my cousin's, so January 2021, it was my cousin's 21st birthday. She had flown down from the state she lives in with her sister and come to Atlanta because a lot of her friends were in Atlanta. She was having a photo shoot for her 21st, blah, 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 blah. My sister does hair and I did her makeup. So my sister did her like wig and everything and I did her makeup. And her photo shoot was in the city in this like just it was like this artistic space, but it's not really like a studio or anything. It was literally just a space in some back alley. When I think about it now, it's so funny. And I remember it was like 7:30 and we were about to go, and I told my parents, oh, we're going with so-and-so to the city, to Atlanta, to help him. My parents like, no, you're not. And I was like, okay. Yeah, okay. In my head, me, I know I'm going. Like, it's my cousin's birthday. Like, she needs her glam squad. Hello. Like, this is a very serious matter. It's her 21st birthday. But I'm not going to go and approach my parents when they're just concerned about something like safety in a city like Atlanta on a sort of prideful tip of like, well, I'm going and I'm 21 in a couple of months and you're not going to tell me anything. I'm not going to do that because we're going to leave in bad graces. It's going to be totally unnecessary and that doesn't honor your family or your parents. But I did explain to them, like, oh, we're going for this purpose, and she needs us for this reason, and we're leaving in 10 minutes, and this is why, and my location will be on, or da-da-da-da-da, and gave them all the necessary you know, give them the rundown of the list so that, as I keep on saying, you're leaving in good graces. There was no reality where I didn't go to that Atlanta. Like, my cousin needed me. Like, it's her photo shoot for her birthday. Like, let's be for real. But it's the sort of thing where it's just like, now it's a matter of explaining things and doing it in a way that's still honoring to God while still fully allowing your autonomy as an adult or as a soon-to-be adult. Sorry for my spiel, but that's me. I love how Winifa's just like, can't relate, can never relate. She literally laughing like,
one more practical thing. Introduce one of your friends to your parents, or multiple of your friends to your parents that your parents like, and then you can always say, if that person is going, then you're more likely to be able to go. That's actually like, as Christine for me, like, cheer holiday, my parents are like, is Christine going? I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay.
That's a very good point.
At least they know, especially if someone's a Christian as well, they know that you guys can convict each other, especially if it's like long periods of time, so it's like a party or things like that. Like, they know that there's someone who has similar beliefs and a similar faith to you as well. That's a practical tip. Next question.
Last question.
So the next question is, how do you share your faith / stick to your convictions without coming across as preachy or judgmental? I'm thinking of like situations where you don't agree with someone and how to say why without coming across as judgmental.
I was about to say, MH, do you want to start?
That's a really good question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is this quote I read a while ago, and it's by one saint from like probably like middle what I call speak English, what is it called, Middle Ages, that's the word. I was about to say Middle Eastern, that's not it. Middle Ages Europe or Britain. And the saint was essentially saying, preach the gospel at all times, and if possible, or when necessary, excuse me, use words. And when I read that, it just reminded me that like the gospel, or sharing the gospel, is really more about your character and how you live more than what you say. I think the girls and I have mentioned before that sometimes we think about our relationship. Well, it's easy to look at Christianity or any religion, but obviously we're Christians, say we believe in Jesus, but it's easy to look at Christianity in particular as like a religion where you're just saying no to a lot of things. But I think instead of being known for what you say no to, perhaps allow the things that you say yes to be really prevalent in your life. There are many things that that scriptures invite us to do and partake in that aren't what the world would see as negative. And that's not to say that we should be ashamed of the things that the world says are negative, or the things that we do in our faith that the world sees as negative. But like, for example, just being kind, having a generous heart, forgiving easily or forgiving quickly, not partaking in gossip, things like that are things that are very sort of good attributes to have, but they're biblical. And I think those can speak just as loudly as, well, you know, scripture says this and this about X, Y, Z. There is a time and place for conversations like that. But I think, it's more your character, not just being caught up on the things that you have to say no to, but allowing the things that you say yes to and the, like, freedom that comes with that to really shine in your life.
I love that so much. Another thing I wanted to add is that, like, I was doing this Sabbath school recently, and we were talking about Sabbath, and we were discussing, you know, is it Saturday, is it Sunday, like, how do we, because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, like, how do I share my beliefs about Sabbath being Saturday without kind of making it seem like other people are not following God correctly or not worshipping validly. And one of the elders at my church was talking about how, like, Sabbath, and I think this applies to the gospel in general, is something that is to be shared and that other people should be able to partake in as well. So it's like, whether people believe exactly what you believe or not, you should still gift them the things that you believe in by making it like a loving and communal experience. So a practical example for me is on Sabbath, making sure that, like, even in the midst of my rest, I'm not overly burdening other people and having them do work for me that I would normally be doing, and that I'm not only like sharing with them a physical rest, but also this kind of a spiritual rest. So being able to be there for people more than usual, like to share with you emotionally, or just being someone's peace. You know, people joke about that, like, oh, be her peace, be his peace, but genuinely like doing that in an extra special way. And I think the same can go with the rest of the gospel message. And obviously I think it's very difficult when you're maybe in a situation where you feel like what somebody's saying is completely adverse to you. But I think just remembering that, like, God doesn't need you to fight for him. You know what I mean? He doesn't need you to go and be combative. I think our job is to be his window pane and to shine his light. And that doesn't always look like battling with people on doctrine. You know, I think that really looks like sharing the gospel, like Mary Hannah said, through your actions and the way you approach people.
Yeah.
I very much agree. I think when it comes to sharing without being judgmental, comes to, I guess, why you're choosing to do it. Like, a lot of people, if you disagree with someone, you just want to convince them or just tell them how wrong they are in their situation. But I think when it comes to the gospel, it's more than right or wrong. It's about the love of God, and whether it's bringing that person a step closer to the truth or allowing them to see things in a new way. I think that's a win either way, whether the person doesn't fully agree with you or not. I feel like if we look at the intentions of your heart, that's where you can really say, am I being judgmental or not? I think you can try as hard as you can sometimes, and you're trying as hard not to be judgmental. You're trying to not step on toes, and people can still
interpret that,
get offense. So I feel like as long as you know your heart and you have genuine intentions behind it, I feel like your heart is pure.
And just continue.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just to echo what the girls have said, we've definitely said this on the podcast before, but I think like the kindness of Christ is so underrated sometimes. I think there's just something so beautiful and so tangible about people who are just kind. And I don't think it has to be superficial. And I think when you focus more on like kindness opposed to like just trying to not be judgmental or not be combative or not be like offensive, I feel like, yeah, your folk, it's just, is much more genuine, and it's much more, I wouldn't say easy, because I don't think it's necessarily, anything in faith is necessarily easy. But I just think it comes more naturally, like, opposed to trying to fight being judgmental, why don't you just try to welcome kindness or prioritize kindness, just like, instead of trying to fight anxiety, like, trying to focus on peace, like, just making that perspective shift. Because I think that will really help. Because as the girl said, you can bend over backwards using every politically correct phrase and, you know, all the rest of it. And somebody will still be annoyed that you said something or did something or doesn't quite get why you believe the way that you do. And that's not something that you can help. But I think it definitely takes a burden off of you to, like, not feel like you walk on eggshells all the time trying to do right by God, when you could perhaps just switch your perspective and think about not just emulating Christ and his kindness, but actually being like him.
And I think as well, like, I think, like, we can all agree, like, we say all this not to say that, like, you should necessarily be, like, compromising or, like, water down your own morals or beliefs just to kind of, like, come across as, like, a type of way that's, I guess, more palatable to people that don't believe the same as you. Because I think, like, there is also a fine line between those two things, like being a more diluted version of yourself in order to be more liked and stuff like that, which is something like I definitely fall into, because to be honest, like, the goal is not necessarily to be liked. But I think where the difference comes in is that, like, people are drawn and are attracted to the qualities of Christ. And I think if you don't display those when talking to somebody about what you believe, then you kind of end up misrepresenting him in the process. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's always a way, like part of it is to do with delivery. There's always a way to come across as loving, because ultimately the reason that people do debate on these things is because, like, for example, if it's two Christians with differing opinions, you're both just trying to figure out how best to worship God. And that in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. And if you're like a Christian speaking to somebody who's not a Christian, ultimately what's driving you shouldn't be just to convince them for the sake of being right intellectually. It should be like, because I have a heart for people the same way God does, I don't want to see anybody like perish. You know what I mean? Like, I want everybody to know the peace of Christ and to partake in his goodness. And so I think it's, yeah, like the girls have said, it's all about like examining your heart's position, but also, you know, contemplating the way that you actually do deliver things.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed our extra long episode and take into account everything we've said about changes to schedule and everything. But as always, thank you so much for rocking with us. Make sure you put your questions in our anonymous Google form and put your emails as well if you want us to respond to you that way. And as always, you can find us on every social media at Let God Podcast. And we'll see you soon.
Bye. I love y'all.